In our study of God's Word today, we find where Jesus had just finished engaging some of the religious leaders in a very demanding encounter within the temple where he had zealously exercised his authority as the Son of God. They're driving the merchants and money changers out of the temple and declaring, "Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business." And then as he continued to preach and to teach and to do miracles there in Jerusalem, we're told that many of those who heard him believed in him. They believed in him. And it's understood that some of them wanted him to declare himself to be the Messiah. But it wasn't his time yet. It just wasn't his time. Those words are given there in verse 23. Listen. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." Folks, here in these words, Jesus voiced a very important truth that we need always to keep in mind about the person and the power of the Lord Jesus. When he stepped forward from his position as the second person of the Trinity to become a man and to walk among us, yes, he did set aside some of his power and some of his attributes as the Almighty God, but not all of them, not all of them. Here in some of the simple words of this passage that we're studying today, we can clearly see that to be so. Those words in verse 24, "But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people." Those words, "he knew all people," they reveal a very important attribute of the Lord Jesus. They reveal his omniscience. His omniscience. These words, "he knew all people," can easily be misunderstood by our conventional human intellect. In our own ordinary conversations, we'll often use the same kind of expression, saying something like, "Oh, you know, Bill, that's just the way he is." But that is not what the Holy Spirit means when he tells us here that Jesus knew all people. Let me repeat the words that I just said to us. When Jesus stepped forward from his position as the second person of the Trinity to become a man and to walk among us, while yes, he did set aside some of his power and his attributes as the Almighty God, but he did not set all of them aside. Not all of them. As Jesus walked among these people each day, he knew everything about them. He knew everything about them, especially what they were thinking. And not only what they were thinking, he also knew their plans and their purposes and their motives. Some people, even many devoutly believing Christians today, want to debate this point. They want to say that, no, Jesus gave up all of his majestic powers when he walked as a man on this earth. But that's just not so. That's not so at all. Listen to these words. These are given in Matthew chapter 9 as he healed the paralyzed man. We read there these words about the religious leaders. Verse 4, "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts," are you listening? "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts?'" And then also in Matthew chapter 12, when the religious leaders accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan, we're told there in verse 25, "Knowing their thoughts, he," this is the Lord Jesus, "said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand.'" And then also in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus spoke about who was important in God's kingdom, there we read in verse 47, "But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts," are you listening to those words, folks? "But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me." Oh, dear Christian, as these examples from the scriptures go on and on, the Lord Jesus is telling us something. As he walked among the people of his day, he knew every word that every one of them was thinking. Their plans, their purposes, their motives. And may I say with absolute certainty that the same is true for you and for me today, right at this moment, and at every moment. Jesus knows every thought, every plan, every purpose, every motive that flows through your and my mind at every moment. And I do love knowing that to be true. I do love knowing that to be true, especially for me. Listen carefully to how the Lord assures us about this in those simple words that I've given so often from Psalm 139. Listen to these words beginning in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. And listen, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Oh, dear Christian, are you not aware that this is so absolutely true and taking place at every moment, that our Lord knows every thought that we think and every desire within our hearts? That's why at any and every moment you and I are able to cry out in prayer to him for his help, and he'll hear us. He'll hear us and he'll come to our aid. And no, we don't need to say the words out loud. He knows every word before they ever come to our tongue. That's why we can seclude ourselves in a prayer closet and quietly plead our needs to him. And he hears. He hears and immediately comes to our aid. Our Lord is amazing, folks, and he is aware of every behavior and activity of our daily life, even right at this moment. Now, before I leave this thought, I really must give us one more example. These words, he knew all people. They're not just informing us that he had some general awareness of us or that he could see everything that we were doing. That's true, yes, it's true. But, oh, dear Christian, he knows so much, much more. This word, knew, K-N-E-W, or knows, K-N-O-W. Those words that he knew and he knows or he has knowledge about, or he foreknew us, as some of the scriptures say, there's so much, much more than we can ever imagine. And please, please do understand that he doesn't just know about us. That's all that we're able to do with other people. But Jesus doesn't just know about us. He knows us ever so intimately. Ever so intimately. And he actually has since the very first moment that he wove together every fiber and every sinew within our bodies. Listen to those words. Again, they're in Psalm 139, and I love these words. Verse 13. You formed my inward parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. Consider these words, folks. The Lord Jesus, who we just read about in chapter 1 of this book of John, where we're told that all things were made by him and without him nothing was made that was made, he is the same God who wove you and me together as we were being formed in our mother's womb. And he not only wove every fiber of DNA in our bodies together. Listen, he also wove our minds and our distinctive personalities within us, giving each one of us the abilities, the intellect, the thinking capacities that we enjoy every day. So then, Yes, to say that he, the Lord Jesus, knew all people is not only true, it's a dramatic understatement. A dramatic understatement. He knows each one of us, and he knows us intimately, even better than we know ourselves. He knows every thought and every desire and every motive that flows through our heart and through our mind. And yes, as he wove us together there in our mother's womb, he also wove our unique nature that would define the responses and the behaviors that we would reveal all of the days of our lives. Isn't that an amazing thought? Now, with all that being said, let's return to our scripture passage. And here we find that as Jesus ministered to the people, preaching and teaching and performing miracles, their hearts were probably elated, excited to suddenly realize who they might have standing there right in front of them, perhaps even to be the long-awaited Messiah that they had prayed for. But again, Jesus knew their hearts and he knew their motives. And while, yes, many of them might have been genuine in their desires to worship him and to declare him to be the master of their lives, Jesus knew that they probably could not help but also want him to be their Savior from the Romans. And that was not his purpose. That was just not the reason that he came to the earth. Jesus knew that he had come to seek and to save those who were lost in sin and to bring their souls into eternal salvation. And because he knew that many of the people had divided hearts, he couldn't trust himself to them. He couldn't trust himself into their hands. And folks, these words are a warning to you and to me. No matter how earnest we may think ourselves to be about many of the matters of this life, we still do most often have divided interests. Yes, on the one hand, we may really want and desire righteous things to take place. But our flesh is ever so powerful. It is ever so powerful and demanding. My thoughts immediately go to the worst of the worst, Jesus' disciple, Judas Iscariot. I believe that in those first years of following Jesus, Judas was probably very, very sincere, wanting what Jesus and the other disciples wanted. He went out on those missionary journeys along with the other disciples, probably was even able to perform some of the miracles that those other disciples performed. Yes, he did secretly help himself to some of the money in the treasury bag. But do we not also do the same thing? We cut corners and we bend rules whenever we're tempted. But again, Judas, the worst of the worst, is always an excellent example for us, probably often wanting the best for Jesus and the ministry. But then, this can take place with all of us when the temptation gets too great, or when we get discouraged about the way that things are turning out, or when we get disenchanted with what we thought was going to happen, we then fall flat. And Judas did. But oh, dear Christian, remember that precious truth that we spoke about a few moments ago. Our Lord Jesus knew all of the thoughts that were flooding through Judas's mind at every moment. Every day, as Judas would help himself to some of the money in the bag, Jesus knew it. Jesus knew about it. And as the doubts and the worries and the discouragements and the disenchantments flowed through Judas's mind, Jesus knew about those also. He knew that they were taking place. But folks, even more unimaginable, Jesus knew that all of Judas's thoughts and purposes and motives would be necessary. They'd be necessary to carry out all those things that he would do later on. The deception and the betrayal, they were all necessary. A friend of mine used to say that, yes, we can be very sincere, but that we must be careful. We can be sincerely wrong. And Judas was wrong. He was very wrong. Very wrong. Let's pause here for a moment and think again about these words here in this passage. We read here in John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, this is the Lord Jesus. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. As I read these words, folks, I really do not want to be a Judas. I don't want to be a Judas. Yes, I believe in our Lord's name, and I want to be the person that he wants me to be and to do the things that he wants me to do. But as is implied in these words of Scripture, am I trustworthy? Am I trustworthy? Can the Lord Jesus entrust himself to me? Are you trustworthy? Can the Lord Jesus entrust himself to you? I don't know about you, but I have been a believing Christian for over 50 years, and I have studied these scriptures faithfully for most all of those years. And to add to that, yes, I do pray daily and all through each day, asking the Lord to guide my steps. But oh, dear ones, I still do fear that I am not yet fully trustworthy. I do want to be, yes, with all of my heart, but I do fear that in my worst of moments, I still might falter. What then might God intend for us as we consider these scriptures that we have in front of us here today? Much more, I'm sure, but one thing in particular. Here, as these people listened and as they heard the gospel being preached and taught to them, from what we read here about Jesus' response to them, we know that they began to make and devise their own set of plans for him. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus knew that their plans were not the plans that he and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had made. And folks, as Jesus tells us here, we do not have the wisdom and authority to make the plans that God must follow. We don't have the wisdom or the authority to make the plans for our God to follow. That's why Jesus said that he would not trust himself into the hands of men. And also, neither do we have the wisdom and the authority to make all the plans that we ourselves will follow. Only God himself has that kind of wisdom and authority. In the book of Jeremiah, the Lord said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Note very carefully, folks, that these words tell us that God himself does have plans for us, and that those are plans that really, really do matter. And they are not the plans that we'll make for ourselves. His plans and his plans alone will lead us to righteousness. As the Lord Jesus observed these people that he was ministering to, he knew that their faith in him was new, it was unproven, and probably even unstable, mostly based on them being able to see his signs and his miracles. And his response to them should also serve as a clear warning to us, to you and to me, both about our own trustworthiness in our faith, but also in our acceptance of the trustworthiness of others, those others who would profess their belief in the Lord Jesus. I think in particular about those we might choose to accept as being trustworthy preachers and teachers of these scriptures. Folks, not everyone who stands in a pulpit or who leads a Bible study or Sunday school class is trustworthy with the truths of God. That's part of the essence of what Jesus is expressing in these words. Listen, verse 24. Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Perhaps too often we entrust the words, the truths, the very person of the Lord Jesus into the hands of people who really are not able to adequately represent him. They might be eager, yes. And sometimes it's difficult to find a preacher or a teacher that we need, and so we want to take an eager volunteer. But again, not everyone is able to preach or to teach God's word in the way that God would intend his word to be given. John chapters 15 and 16 have helped me to better recognize the kind of trustworthiness that's necessary to the daily walk of a believer, and in what it really takes for someone to be trustworthy to preach and to teach God's word. Chapter 15 of the book of John tells us so much about what it's like to truly abide in the person and the presence of the Lord Jesus, him being the vine of God who supplies us with all of those spiritual nutrients that we need for a daily walk with our Lord. And then John chapter 16 tells us so much about how Jesus will give us his Holy Spirit to fill us and to instruct us with all of the knowledge and understanding, the exact words that we'll need as we preach and as we teach his truths. And knowing this to be true, we really must exercise great care as we choose those in whom we'll place our trust as preachers and as teachers. For ourselves, we need to seek the Lord's guidance before we join ourselves and our families to a particular church, or before we choose to join a particular Bible study or a particular Sunday school class. And now, with the advent of the internet, there are so many, many preachers and teachers calling out to us to join with them and to follow their website teaching. And no, there should be no exceptions, no exceptions. You should even examine every word and every teaching that I give on my own website, the one that you're listening to right now, livingingodspresence.org. And you should consider every word carefully and be sure that this teaching that I'm teaching now agrees completely with God's written word in the Bible. And if you have any concern about its trustworthiness, for the sake of your own soul, you really must turn away from it immediately. It is my hope and my prayer, of course, that you would find only the truth of God's word carefully flowing within every word and every thought that's given by me on this website. And I do invite your comments on each of these studies. But be careful, my dear friends, be careful. So then, finally, if as you read and listen to the words of this study and you find them to be trustworthy, then please do feel free to write them down and to share them as you witness and as you teach other people. Pray with me, will you? Oh, dear Father, you do know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. I do pray that you would take possession of my tongue every time that I choose to give your word, your truth, whether it be from person to person or on this website. Help me to be trustworthy with your truth. I pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.